Dude, wait, so Lauren, you've watched The Lord of the Rings.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And Paige, you just watched them a few days ago?
I am a first timer.
This is so exciting for me. Tell me everything.
I feel like you guys are going to blow me away because I'm sure you guys have seen it multiple times. And so
many times.
Yes, all the times.
Because, okay, Harry Potter, real quick. I had never seen Harry Potter until I sat down and Lauren made me watch them all. And like she's explaining all this stuff to me because she's seen it so many times. It was a different thing. So I'm excited to see how you guys can explain some things to me because I'm confused.
Cool. You're confused after having watched all of them?
Honestly, I think my brain's on overload.
That's fair enough.
Amazing. That's fair. It's a whole lot of movie.
It's a whole nother world. Welcome back to another episode of And Here's Why. Lauren, why are we here?
Because Sauron's ring has been successfully thrown into the lava at Mount Doom. That's right. Lord of the Rings.
Yep. So this episode, a very special guest joins us.
Today, we have the incredibly talented Devin Werkheiser.
Hey.
Devin, work that thing, Heiser. Welcome, Devin.
That's right.
Welcome, wow. Devin. Let me start by saying that you single-handedly prepared me for some of life's most terrifying moments. This is an honor. Please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
What's up, Lauren and Paige? I have definitely never heard Devin work that thing, Heiser, and I love it. Okay, I'm sold. I'm putting it on a shirt.
Yeah, change your Instagram handle now.
I'm switching it right now. I was on a show called Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide. I played Ned, who was a guy who helped an entire generation survive middle school and remind them that they're not alone in what they're going through. And, it's crazy and it's confusing, but we're all going to make it. Since then, you know, it's been many years, but that's still the thing that stays in people's hearts. And I'm down with it. I don't get upset when people call me Ned. But I'm a musician now. I still act. Since the pandemic, I live stream a lot because, you know, what else am I doing? that's me and that's my life. I'm also a freak for the Lord of the Rings trilogy. They're my favorite movies.
I will say, I loved that YouTube video that you were in. You were like, sometimes my name is Devin, Mom.
There's feelings in there, but ultimately, people ask me a lot. They're like, do you get upset when people call you Ned? And I'm like, the reason you're on my live stream is because you know me from Ned. Why? Like, no, I'm not mad at that. And honestly, like, making Ned's was truly, like, an incredible experience for all of us. Like, it was 3 years of an insane amount of fun. The cast, the crew, the producers, the writers, like, we were a family for 3 years. So ultimately, Ned's has done nothing but, like, bless my life. And I know some people, they try and like turn the page from like what they did before, out of some like, well, I'm not that anymore. I'm more than that. And it's like, well, I know who I am. And it's cool to me that people are still connected to that show. And like, we had a great time making it. So I'm not mad at it.
That was amazing. I love when people are proud of where they come from. You know, yeah. I mean, it made you who you are today. So let's embrace it. That was beautiful.
For sure. I am aiming to transcend that in my in my career as an artist. Yeah. Like, for sure, that's a part of what I'm aiming for, to be on something that people know me for more than Ned's. But
yes.
But like, that's okay. That will come. And you can't just like artificially choose when that happens. Like,
right.
It's funny because that actually kind of ties into our topic and our Lord of the Rings topic today. Because yes. I feel like Elijah Wood probably feels the same way, where people don't always disconnect him from Frodo Baggins. Yeah, no, for sure.
He will forever be Frodo. He had a big enough career before it and after, but for sure, Lord of the Rings is going to be, it's going to be the biggest for a ton of these actors who are all incredible, but like their characters, I mean, these movies are so massive and their characters are so important to people who love these films that yes, for sure, forever those people are connected to Lord of the Rings.
Is there a reason why you chose The Lord of the Rings, aside from it just obviously being a fan favorite?
I mean, you said, like, here's our podcast. We do a deep dive on something that, like, you're a big nerd about, and this is it. When people ask what's my favorite movie, I say The Lord of the Rings trilogy. I count them as one movie, and they are my favorite movie.
It's its own thing.
I have the extended edition. Like, it sits on my living room table always, and and I've watched all three of the extended editions twice in the last year already.
Oh wow!
All at once? Did it take you a full 24 hours?
No, we did not do them all at once. That life is intense. I tried to do that one time, and we got through a lot of hours. My sister and I did it. We got through two of the extended editions and, like, the big, like, 2 hour behind the scenes chunks on each. So,
oof.
Yeah, we did a whole lot, but we couldn't start Return of the King after that. We were like,
no.
We were like 11 hours or like 10 hours deep or something into a Lord of the Rings day. And it was like, all right.
You start talking medieval, you, like, go to Elvish. Reach for the remote, it turns into a sword, and you're like, what the hell is happening?
I'm tripping, guys.
Yeah. Paige, yes. Please.
Yes.
Unleash.
Yes. So this is wild to me. So Paige, what are your thoughts? How do you feel? What are your questions?
Okay, guys.
How many days did you watch them over?
Three.
But. And did you watch the extended editions?
No, God, no.
Everyone boo this better. Woman.
They're better. Listen, okay.
We will revisit it because honestly, I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would. I said it. Lauren, you heard that right. I know Lauren's like, you're going to hate it. And I'm like, yes, I will. But I honestly was very pleasantly surprised. I will say that. I do need to address something, and you guys are probably going to burn me at the stake.
Oh, okay. Boy.
So I thought this was Star Trek.
What?
Huh?
I don't
Lauren
even know what that means.
Left the chat. I am going.
So when I think.
I don't know what that means.
Okay, back up. First of all, I thought it was Lord of the Rings, like Santa Claus with his reins.
Oh,
for the
God. Oh,
my hey. God. Yeah. Oh, my God. You sweet summer child.
No. I thought it was Lord of the Rings. I was like, oh, it's Lord of the Rings. And I was talking to my dad about it. My dad likes the movies. And I'm like, okay, let's look into this. Well, I was looking at it and I was like, yeah, I always associated it with Star Wars. And my dad's like, how do you mean? And I was like, well, because it's in space and, like, it's just not. He's like, Paige, what? And the more we looked into it, I was thinking it was Star Trek. So,
oh, my God.
Yeah.
I think my heart just stopped.
I'm exploding, dude. What?
So
it's in space.
It was a pleasant surprise to learn that this movie was
that
not
it's a
Star
fantasy
Trek.
Movie.
Yeah, yeah, I already liked it more that it wasn't Star Trek.
Oh,
so.
My God.
Yep.
I'm deceased.
Oh. I'm dead. I'm dead too. We're starting off on just an incredible, incredible start here. Wow.
And first off, let me just say, big fan of Jason. Your father, good man. Right.
Thank you.
Patience
like
of
him.
A saint.
Literally, I don't know how he has dealt with you for all these years, but I mean, medal.
Honestly,
medals on medals for that.
The man deserves an award.
Oh, goodness, Paige, you just never cease to surprise me.
Okay, so you start in Middle Earth.
Yes, I was like, well, this space. Is a pleasant surprise.
With a wonderful Kate Blanchett narrating.
Love it.
Yeah, honestly, that was very soothing because it's not how I was expecting it to come on. Because I already knew, like, okay, this is not in space. It's great. But just her voice was so calming. And honestly, I was shocked at all the, like, Christian symbolism throughout the movie. Like, I think that's why I enjoyed it so much, because in a way, it kind of gave me, like, Chronicles of Narnia vibes, like, where it's all, like, religious symbolism and stuff. So I thought that that was very cool, and I think it honestly helped me understand it a lot more had it not taken that route. So
sure.
Can I blow your mind a little bit?
Go ahead.
Tolkien, who wrote, you know, Lord of the Rings,
yes,
he was actually very good friends with C.S. Lewis, who wrote the Chronicles of Narnia.
Honey, you know I love that man. You know I love C.S. Lewis. Stop.
They were very good friends to the point where Tolkien's wife, Edith, was actually very supposedly jealous of their relationship, and it was actually Tolkien who convinced Lewis to return to Christianity.
So it's kind of like how our husbands are jealous of our relationship. I feel like maybe they kind of had that same like podcast, except, you know, it wasn't a thing. So they probably just like talked in a room together maybe, but it was, you know, like, do you feel that way too? Or is it just me?
No, this feeling is mutual that you have.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. Well, let me back up. Yeah.
Definitely. And actually, it's funny because one of my favorite scenes, I think it's Two Towers, they're losing a battle and then suddenly just like a bunch more soldiers come in to like kind of save the day, you know?
For sure. Mm-hmm.
That happened in Lord of the Rings, obviously. But then it was also in Narnia when Aslan, the freaking lion, decides to save the day as well. So.
Right. Yeah, that's one of the most epic moments and shots in Lord of the Rings is like they're ever. Like losing the battle at Helm's. I mean, the Battle of Helm's Deep in Two Towers is one of the most epic battles ever made in film. Like, it's so intense and the size of it and the scope of it is so massive. And then, yeah, they're losing the battle and that shot of Gandalf on top of the hill with the Rohirrim. Mm. And the white light comes down. I mean, it's glorious.
Chills.
It's glorious. I literally, no matter how many times I've seen the film, when they're all galloping down the hill towards the orcs, and then the chills, and I'm like screaming like it's a football game. I'm like, yeah. Oh my God.
It is one of my favorite moments. And then, of course, meanwhile, you've got all those Ents, like the trees just absolutely destroying Isengard. And you're just like, hell yes! Yes. Let's go!
Yes. Paige, I'm so happy you got to watch it. So I had the great experience this year of my roommate and my best friend. We've only lived together for a year, and he had never seen them either. And So in December, we watched them all the way through, and it was his first time, and I was so stoked because he loved it. And so as soon as the pandemic hit and quarantine started and we needed to feel good about life because the entire world was collapsing and we were like, oh my God, what are we going to do? We watched it again. And I love it because I'm obsessed with these movies, but my roommate, every time we finish Return of the King, he's like, well, should we start Fellowship again? And I'm like, yes.
Dude, it is that you're time. You're my guy.
Can I hit you guys with a little hot take?
Sure, Lauren.
Every time I rewatch this trilogy, I think my mind is going to change, and it just doesn't. But every time I'm left thinking, wow, I could do with a little less Frodo and a little more Aragorn.
Okay. Well, first of all, Aragorn is the greatest character archetype of a man king ever. Yeah. He's this Viggo Mortensen is forever
the goat. Yes.
The goat in my heart. Love him so much. And every time he's on screen, I'm happy.
You and my mom both.
I used to be less into the Frodo Sam story and I wanted all the other stuff. The more I watch it, the more I'm into kind of Frodo and Sam's narrative. I mean, I get it. Frodo, the reason he's such a hard character to, I guess, empathize with is because his struggle is one that none of us can understand.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like this mysterious, mythical power that the ring holds over the one who carries it is something none of us get to understand, including the other characters in the story. So you watch him at the end too, and he does the wrong thing. He doesn't destroy the ring. If Gollum wasn't there to jump on his back and mess it all up, Frodo might have walked out of Mount Doom and taken the ring and been a little creepy freak boy. So yes, that's the beautiful thing. Sam is like a hero. Sam is pure goodness and courage and friendship and like he underrated and he gets Frodo through it.
He deserves an elephant.
I would like to touch on that real quick.
Talk to us, Paige, new Lord of the Rings viewer.
I know. I feel like such a rookie.
Who thought it was in space. Oh my God.
Listen, okay, I know. I'm so
ashamed.
Ask
me everything.
Okay, so old wise one. I'm having a really hard time because there were so many, like, honestly, I wondered to myself, could I get away with not watching this? No. After I was like 10 minutes into it, I was like, oh, good Lord. Like, there's so many names and places and things. And I mean, I'm still confused.
What are you confused about?
Well, their names. They're all so confusing.
There was a tad bit of laziness just in a couple of the names because they are so similar.
Yeah.
Like Arwen, Eowyn, of course, both of the ladies after Aragorn's heart.
Right, but that's not laziness. That's just language. You know what I mean? Like,
okay,
like Tolkien literally like invented a language. I mean, this happens with any fantasy book or movie. Like, I mean, they all come from books basically, but this happens with fantasy stories. Like I read Dune recently, another very Christian author with like deep Christian themes. The beginning of any fantasy story, like you kind of just have to know you're going to get tossed a bunch of new names, places, and context that you're having to catch up. And it is kind of always overwhelming.
Agreed.
My most recent experience with that was with Dune. I started reading it and I was like, oh my goodness, like they're just naming all these different kind of like planets and governments and languages and names, and I'm like, I'm lost. But that's just the nature of entering a new world.
And that's exactly how I feel. Like, I know you guys are just so invested emotionally in these movies, and so I'm sitting here like, because I'm still honestly trying to wrap my head around it. But one thing I did want to say, okay, I was reading into the Christian symbolism and everything. And one thing I just wanted to spill my hot take on was, so some people think that Gandalf is Christ, or like he's the depiction of Christ. Yeah, but I disagree with that because it was about the sacrifice, like sacrificing himself or whatever, and then like a resurrection.
Okay, yeah.
But I would disagree with that because when he returned, he also seemed surprised. I'm like, I don't feel like that works. And then some people said that Frodo was a depiction of Christ, but I don't see that either.
Wouldn't it be Aragorn?
The conclusion, it seems like most people think it's Sam. They think that he is the Christ figure.
I mean,
and I wanted to see what you guys would say.
I'm not overtly Christian, so I understand the theme overlap. I've never actually thought deeply about this, but off the top of my head, it would be Aragorn in so many ways. I mean, Sam's like the purest of heart, but Aragorn's who he has like the internal resurrection. Mm-hmm. Like he's the one who comes back to himself and his power for the like goodness of the people.
I think a really good depiction of that too would be in Return of the King when all the ghosts come and help and, you know, they just mess everybody up.
Yeah.
And at the very end, the sort of leader king of all the ghosts goes up to Aragorn and he says, release us.
Yeah.
And Gimli's like, hey, they're pretty dang
they're pretty
useful.
Awesome to
like,
have.
We should probably just keep them to do our bidding for us. Aragorn just straight up looks at him and is like, yeah, like you're done. Thank you.
Yeah, no, I made a promise to you.
I think this is a Catholic take on it. And I think that's why I'm a little confused.
Well, the Catholic thing is, you know, it's about just carrying heavy loads of guilt in your life. I know because I was raised Catholic. So that would be Frodo. Just carrying a heavy, heavy load.
Yeah, most definitely. And that is like conversations like this, I feel like, is exactly what Tolkien's intentions were, because he considered himself a scholar before a writer.
Right.
He greatly just wanted to construct like a body of myth. And
exactly.
I feel like just the fantasy aspect that, you know, was just so driven by fanatics of this trilogy, he was completely taken aback by it. Like he was not ready for like that sort of thing. And it's just funny because, I mean, if he were alive now to kind of see all the different fan conventions and stuff, he would probably be horrified by people dressing up as like Legos and stuff.
Okay, fun story. My dad, so he is a chaplain, and he was telling me, because I mean, whether you're religious or not, I mean, we clearly all have some significant feelings on it. But he was telling me a guy, I think he said in his seminary class, the dude literally learned Elvish and like spoke it fluently. And I was like, is that even real? Like, I cannot imagine.
It's the same thing with Game of Thrones, and like people legitimately try and learn like Dothraki. Like, it's insane.
Yeah.
Is that on Duolingo? Can we like...
I watched Josh Gad has this great podcast that he's been doing in the quarantine, where he gets like casts of movies, like classic big movies, together over Zoom because we're all quarantined, and like gets them to reread scenes and like reminisce on the making of the film. The Lord of the Rings one, I literally was watching with like a smile and tears in my eyes the whole time because watching them get together and to see the love that they have for each other, because Lord of the Rings, no movie has been made like this. They shot 3 movies at the same time for 18 months. This has never been done, and it probably won't be done again, except he did it again for The Hobbit, but those movies are not worth talking about.
Agreed.
But so Liv Tyler was on that, and she was saying because of how they taught her Elvish, because like she had to learn it so deeply, even though they shot the movie 20 years ago, she says it's still in her brain. Like, she remembers it because they taught it to her so deeply, which I thought was so cool. Like, she still remembers her Elvish lines.
Yeah, I would throw that around in the freaking grocery store.
Like, literally, just to throw people off. Like,
yeah, super casual. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Something kind of cool. Nicolas Cage actually turned down the role of Aragorn.
And I'm so glad he did.
Everyone is so grateful for that.
Like- yes. Well, and what's so cool is Viggo came onto the movie. Nicolas Cage turned it down, but they had somebody else filming Aragorn. Mm-hmm. They had, I don't know who it was, but they had someone else in there and he wasn't working out or something happened with him. Viggo came on like last minute.
Yeah.
And he's like the greatest character and actor. Like he couldn't have been more perfect. And I love that that happened because I'm so grateful it was Viggo. I don't get starstruck often. I don't get that thing where like I feel nervous and I can't talk to someone.
Yeah.
But I went to this screening of a movie of Viggo's, and it was a small theater, and like people could go up to him after, and like I went up to him after, I just shook his hand, but like I couldn't say anything. I was like a schoolgirl. I was just
you just whisper like, under your breath, like I love you.
It's kind of, yeah, kind of. It was just like I love you so much. You're everything to me. And then I sniffed his head and I laughed.
Yeah. You're like, smells like orc blood.
Ew. I'm like, you'll always be my king.
Niels takes the knee. Man took so many beatings too on set. Like the poor thing.
I mean, I love these films so much because not only are the films beautiful and like so rich in themes and emotion and also fun.
Mm-hmm.
But on top of that, there's like such legend around the filmmaking process because it was 18 months in New Zealand, like in this other world.
Yeah.
And Viggo, there's like legend of what a man he is. All right. Like, you know, people are taking whatever, a helicopter or you know, a shuttle van to different locations. And
he was riding his horse
and like camping along the way. Like he learned how to be a ranger like Strider was, right? Like he became friends with his horse. He actually bought one. There were like multiple horses of his. He actually like bought one of them and like took him home. But the stories of him riding his horse between locations, like many miles, is just, amazing. It makes it even cooler. Yeah. He's even cooler. I love that guy.
I just have such vivid memories of, like, my parents are also just huge nerd cakes, right? So
nerd cakes.
So they would watch these movies when I was really little. And I just remember my mom, I have not seen her smile as big and just in love, not even to my father, as she did with Aragorn. And
yes.
Like, just some sort of spiritual essence took yes. over her body whenever he was on screen. And yes. at the time, I was like, well, that's kind of weird, Dad sitting right there. But now I'm like, now you get it.
No, because really, like, these films are so rich in myth. And, like, we all in our lives are still attached to myth in our human beingness. Like, it's not all this tangible material world. And Aragorn and Viggo's portrayal of him truly is the archetype of a good king. Like, mm-hmm. he is the good king. Like,
yeah.
noble, humble, honest, brave, kind. He is all the things. And yeah, I feel very much like your mother when he's on screen.
Paige, who would yeah. you say is one of your favorite characters, if you can, you know, single one out?
Okay, real quick, you remind me of someone from the movie. And
oh, God.
So,
what are you about to say?
I'm worried. I'm very worried.
No. It's in the best way. So in the first
Who reminds
movie,
you? Me or Devin?
Bilbo Baggins. You.
Oh, God.
No, just because
we're going on an adventure.
When Gandalf rolls up to his house in the beginning and I just see him, I was like, oh, that's just like me going to Lauren's house and he's writing the book and stuff. And I'm like, oh, that's just like Lauren, little author baby.
Incredible.
Paige is Gandalf, I guess.
Love it.
Okay, that was another thing that I thought was really weird, really quick. When he rolled up like Gandalf and he was in his little yeah. cart and stuff. And he gets out and he knocks on Bilbo's door. And I was like, that house looks kind of small. And then Bilbo comes to the hobbits. Door. Well, I didn't realize the height difference. Even my dad's like, yeah, it's kind of deceiving. Like, for me seeing it the first time, I just wasn't ready to know that they were short people. I was kind of offended, if we're being honest.
They're hobbits. They're halflings. They're halflings, small yeah. people. Like, that's their creature.
And I get it.
And that made shooting those scenes
crazy.
Unprecedented levels of craft went into making this film. So for each hobbit house, like for Bilbo's hobbit house, they had to have a set that was scaled bigger so that the actors playing hobbits would look small. They mm-hmm. had to have a house scaled smaller so that Gandalf would look huge. And yeah. then they had a fully to scale mini house that they could do these like sweeping shots through.
It was just insane, because even when they went to, what was it, like the Prancing Pony or whatever it
yeah.
was? Yeah, like just seeing them standing in front of other people.
Yeah.
Like, it was so bizarre, because that's all I was thinking about.
Don't they do it so seamlessly?
Yes, it seems so natural. I was like...
And so much of the movie is not CGI. Like, it's practical film effects and mm-hmm. overlaying different sets.
And this was like 20 years ago, so that's what makes it even crazier.
Exactly. What they accomplish is something unbelievable. Gimli, the character, the actor who played Gimli, is one of the biggest actors on set. He's a big man. He's a huge man. He's like 6'4".
Paige, the actor who plays Gimli in Princess Diaries, the second one, the really mean uncle.
Oh, what's his name?
Yeah, Nicholas's uncle, the one that's trying to steal the crown. That's Gimli, just for your reference.
There were a few people that I picked up on.
I didn't know I knew the actor of Gimli, mm-hmm. and I've watched these movies a million times. I didn't know he was in Indiana Jones until I watched, until I watched that podcast that I'm talking about with the Reunited, and they show who he actually is. And I was like, that's Gimli? Like, I've watched these movies a million times and I never knew it was that actor.
Well, the one guy, Dominic Monaghan.
Yeah,
he was from Lost. And exactly. So when I saw him in there, I was like, what the heck? There were so many, in Orlando Bloom, there were so many people I had no idea were in that. Just again, because I thought it was Star Trek and like just, I
unbelievable.
Didn't. Yeah, I know.
Your brain's amazing.
Phenomenal.
I want to blow your mind again with I think it's pronounced Aomer. Aomer, the rider of Rohan, he gets exiled at first.
Yeah.
And he comes with Gandalf.
Carl.
Yeah, Carl Urban Page. That's Butcher from The Boys.
Yeah.
Blonde.
What?
Yeah.
Yes, because he's from New Zealand.
Yeah, he did so good. I love him in that movie.
Hold the phone.
The performances in Lord of the Rings are, like, to me, they just... I study acting. I know what the craft
what?
Is.
You don't and say.
Like yeah, well, and like sometimes talking about acting with people who don't know what the actual craft is, it's a little like we're just looking at it on different levels. But watching these films, these performances are just they're so sweet, they're so pure, they're so full. Like everyone nails it. Everyone nails it.
One of my favorite little fun facts from, you know, these movies is that women in beards were actually used as extras. A lot of them were the riders of Rohan. Wow. A good chunk of them were. And it was because Viggo said, yeah, there are phenomenal women horse riders in New Zealand, and it would be foolish of us not to use them. So we just slapped on some beards and, you know, called them men.
I thought that
was crazy.
I love that. That's awesome. Yeah, they employed so many people in New Zealand while making that film too, which
I love.
The amount of extras in that movie. There's this, if you watch the behind the scenes, there's this hilarious story of there were two guys on the crew who were responsible for all the chainmail that all the extras and all the warriors have to wear was made of plastic chainmail. But
yeah.
The chainmail didn't come made. You had to link literally every single chink in the chain. You had to take a little plastic piece and make the chainmail one by one. And this movie has hundreds of extras.
Nope.
So there's like this recurring theme when you watch the behind the scenes of these two guys who were tasked with linking that chainmail for 18 months. And they're losing their minds that's
absolutely
their job
not.
Because
yeah.
of the scale of the movie is so big.
I just want to say a smile has not left my face because it just warms my soul to hear Paige nerding out about something I would have never expected her to nerd out on. Lord
yes.
of the freaking Rings. This is monumental for me.
Yes.
Okay, sorry. That's
Tell me. Wait, you still didn't say a favorite character other than that Lauren is Frodo.
No, Bilbo.
Oh, sorry. Bilbo. That's right.
It's author vibes. I don't know. I honestly really like Sam. I'm a sucker for side characters and...
Sam's the heart of the story.
Yeah, he's a main character.
Well, yeah, but I didn't feel like he was. I feel like it's Frodo and, you know, but...
Yeah, no, that's the cool thing. It seems like it's not Sam. And the more times I watch it, it's like, wow, Sam is the reason this whole thing got done.
Yeah, like y'all's insight, like I feel like you have totally different views than what I have because you have like, so that's, I definitely think I'm going to have to read the books, honestly.
I have, as much as I'm a fan of the trilogy, I've never read the books and I need to. I have them.
Lauren just passed out.
Lauren just passed out. Lauren's dead.
No, honestly, like the more I'm reading about like just the world and stuff, because, you know, like after watching, of course, I'm like, okay, I need help still understanding things. And
yeah.
But I think really like reading the books would be best for me to just really grasp it and just take it all in and get like the original vision.
I might cry. Like what's happening?
And then next time you watch them through, watch the extended editions because they truly give you, like, they give you more context. I get mm-hmm. why they cut them because they had to be in theaters and, like, people
right.
can't sit in theaters that long. But, like, we're at home now. And
now is the time.
And they added what's in the extended editions. Everything except, have you watched the extended editions, Lauren?
I have, yes.
I think they're superior movies with the extended edition. They just give you more story points. They give you more
yes.
like information for the story to matter. Everything except for in Return of the King, there's this sequence where Frodo and Sam are in Mordor, and rather than them kind of like crossing Mordor and getting to Mount Doom, they like wear orc clothes and like get caught by. That's the only sequence that I dislike and should be cut out of the movie. Like,
yeah.
Because they're like dressed as orcs, but they're hobbits, and somehow the orcs like don't know. Yeah. And
they're
it's like,
it's fine. Children orcs.
I hate that I know what we're talking about. I am so embarrassed.
I love it. Welcome to Nerd Town. Welcome to the Nerd Cake Bakery, Paige.
Oh, gang. Whoa. Piping hot serving coming out of the oven. No, but wait, let me ask you guys, who were your favorite characters then?
I've told you, Aragorn.
Yeah, I was going to say, Devin's is clear as day.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you guys raved about him. I'm sorry.
Aragorn is just he's literally the pinnacle of manhood.
Yeah, I would have to agree. Aragorn is just such an easy character to love. Like, he's so strong, and just everything about him's amazing. I love him so much.
Yeah, and then next would be Gandalf, would be the wizard. He's such a force of good.
He's like the grandpa, you know, that you just look up to.
The cool grandpa.
Yeah. I'm like, I could definitely get behind that.
I mean, how about his incredible line in, it's in Return of the King, when Pippin is, it's during the Battle of Minas Tirith, and Pippin is like, we're gonna die, Gandalf. Like, this is the end. And Gandalf's like, this is not the end. Like, death is just another beginning. Like, he has so many lines like that that are just...
They hit you right in the feels.
Yes, they're so needed in our lives as humans. They're such necessary reminders, and they're told through this big theme. Yeah.
One of my top favorite characters is Mary.
What? What? Excuse me? Excuse me? Pippin, yep. Who messes everything up always?
No, not Pippin. Mary.
Oh, yeah, right. That's, yeah, got it. Yeah, Mary's a sweetie pie.
Yeah, I love him. And just if I were, which this is going to be a follow-up question, but if I were to pick any race to be in this realm in Middle Earth, I would be a hobbit, and I would be Mrs. Mary Brandybuck. And Pippin would definitely be the best man at our wedding.
Amazing. Amazing. I love it. Yeah, no, Mary's great. And Pippin's the biggest idiot. But then...
Yeah, he's dumb.
I was talking about it with my roommate. I was talking about it with Theo, that because he keeps like messing everything up.
Classic.
But in true, complete life theme, Pippin's mistakes also lead to the story, like lead to them succeeding. So even though he gets Gandalf killed, Gandalf comes back stronger. Like, yeah. Because, you know, because he screws up in Mordor and wakes everyone up.
Oh, yeah.
Or not Mordor, the Mines of Moria. He, like, does that thing where he drops the bucket and you're like, Pippin, you're such an idiot. and then the Balrog wakes up and kills Gandalf. But then Gandalf comes back stronger. And then he does the thing with the all-seeing eye because he's such a little curious boy. He can't stop messing up. But then because he does that, they know it's Minas Tirith. So, like, even his mistakes lead to the story, like, working out. So that's how life goes.
What race would you be, Paige, in Middle Earth?
So if we're really, like, getting technical, I'd have to be a hobbit because they're small. Like, I mean, it only makes... Literally, as we're watching it, my dad's like, oh, it's your people. I was like, okay, that's rude.
You can be whatever you want to be, Paige. What do you want to be in your soul?
I've always loved elves. I'd have to be an elf.
Fair. I mean, elves are these like mythical elves. All right. So in your Christian theology, it's like elves would be angels. They are immortal.
They're perfect. Just like me. No, I'm kidding.
but kind of like that's their race in this world is like they are perfect. They're immortal. Yeah. They have powers above everybody else. Yeah. And they never die.
Exactly. I don't feel like it's too much to ask for.
And that's how you see yourself. I got it. I got it, Paige.
We have to speak it into existence.
Devin, what would you be?
What race in Lord of the Rings? What what creature? What would I want to be?
An orc, obviously. No, I'm kidding.
No, they make them so perfectly evil. They make them so perfectly gross and evil, so you're always down to root against them.
Always.
What would I want to be? Yeah, it's like, I mean, just for the sake of fun, it's like a wizard or an elf. It's like, let me be, let me have forces, let me have powers beyond my being. However, I laugh in real life about how hobbit like I am sometimes. So,
see, and that's my thing. Like, in a perfect world, I would want to mostly be an elf, but I feel like I would totally die in battle. So, if I want to just live out a really happy life with my husband married, like, I would be a hobbit because I know that I could get the most out of it, you know? Because an elf, I would just, I'd fail. I know I would.
I mean, hobbits are also these like beautiful species where like they live on their sweet, sweet farms, and like they just, they don't want to be bothered by things.
I'll be at the pub.
They want to smoke their hobbit grass. They want to eat, they want to, drink their ales. They want to eat their cheeses. They enjoy naps and many, many meals and snacks a day. Like, they're these pure sweetie pies.
I didn't realize that this movie was where the, where it's like, one does not simply blank.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, whoa, that's iconic.
Funniest memes ever.
Yes.
Now even funnier with context, huh, Paige?
Yeah, I get it now. I'm like, oh man, that is pretty silly.
The reason it's so serious is because of that line. One does not simply walk into Mordor.
Yeah, I've never got that. I'm like, that's so weird. Like, where does that come from? And when it happened,
Lord of the Rings.
Instantly, I was like, wow.
It's funny, on that reunion special, Ian McKellen said Christopher Lee, who played Saruman. Christopher Lee is a legendary actor. Like, his credits are like a mile long. The dude's been in so many things. So even though Ian McKellen was a grown known actor at the time, him meeting Christopher Lee was like big for him. And he said, like, the first thing Christopher Lee said to him was, "I always thought I should play Gandalf."
And oh my gosh! Like, so sassy.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, I'm more deserving, actually.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, he threw out, like, "I always thought I should play Gandalf." Amazing. Amazing.
Yikes. The savagery.
I love it.
One of my favorite little blips in this trilogy is just the blatant accidental Legolas eye colors.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's my least favorite.
Yeah.
Honestly, I love it because, I mean, it's just, there was no way for them to fix it. And just the fact that the director was just like, I'm going to be honest, like, there's no way for me to explain
this. Messed up.
Like, we messed up and he just didn't put his blue contacts in after lunch breaks sometimes. Yep. Like, that was literally the explanation, and I love it. I love everything about
it. Yeah, I guess it's like, I haven't read the book, so I guess like the elves, all of them, or just Legolas was supposed to have these like striking blue eyes, and Orlando Bloom just wasn't good about the contacts.
Yeah. Sometimes it was blue, one time it was purple, or his just normal natural brown. Good for him.
Good for you, Orlando Bloom, and your freaky eyes.
Thriving.
Legolas, what do your elf eyes see? There is such incredible makeup in that movie. Like, some of the orcs are some of the coolest looking practical makeup. Ugliest, freakiest, like, practical makeup effects I've ever seen.
Haunted my dreams as a kid, actually.
For sure, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, so Paige, like, I watched these in theaters. So it's like, I've seen these since I was a kid. Like, we would go to the IMAX and watch these.
Again, like, I feel like this movie, or these movies, are so ahead of their time. Like, seeing it now, out of all the movies I've seen.
Isn't it wild how it holds up?
Yeah, it's insane. Because normally, if you watch a movie even from, like, 2010, you're like, oh my gosh, this is awful.
No, for sure.
You know? And, like, just seeing that, I never even thought that. So
no, it's why they won, like, 35 Oscars. Like, they won so much stuff because what they accomplished is, it's unprecedented. And yeah, watching, the more I watch them back, it's just insane how they hold up 20 years later, that the CGI holds up. Like, are you kidding me? What they were doing is unbelievable.
Like, I have no problem watching an older movie or whatever. I love movies in general, but just seeing that, it blows my mind. I'm like, I wanted to hate it, but it just was working really hard.
They're hard to hate. They are such effective movies, and like they balance the seriousness and like kind of deep themes with like nice moments of humor. Even in the big Helm's Deep battle, they balance it with like Legolas like surfing a shield downstairs, like just like
Gimli being like, toss me.
Yeah, you'll have to toss me.
Don't tell the elf.
Don't tell the elf. Lauren, what's your favorite of the three?
As everyone's favorite should be, Two Towers.
Is it Two Towers? I knew you were going to say it. So Two Towers is what I have a poster of. And Two Towers had been my favorite for a long time. In the last couple years, though, oddly enough, Fellowship is now my favorite.
Okay, explain.
I love the setup. I love the coming together of the Fellowship and the setup of the world and the setup of the quest. Mm. And like, I don't know, that's the one that right now has been bringing me the most joy.
Honestly, Fellowship was my favorite, and I didn't know if it was just because it was the first one and that's what seemingly made sense. You know, like, since I've only seen each of them once, I'm like, yeah, the first one's my favorite. So, but that's interesting to hear.
And Two Towers had been my favorite for like 15 years because, I mean, Helm's Deep is the coolest battle ever. You've ever seen. It's so massive and incredible.
Yeah.
But yeah, Fellowship has taken it for me. And Return of the King has its moments, but it's so long and so much. It's just a whole lot of movie.
I just hate reliving Boromir's death.
In Fellowship?
Yeah. I think that's what it is. I don't know. That one, obviously, it's so great to just see the Fellowship form. And
exactly.
You just,
I like starting off in the Shire. Yeah. Like I like the fireworks hijinks, you know.
Yes.
We're starting off nice and easy. We're going on an adventure in Fellowship. In Two Towers, we're deep. We're deep in a struggle. Yeah, and maybe it's something about like when I loved Two Towers, you know, I was younger and I was looking for, like, I was ready for more things to happen in life. And maybe at this point in my life, it's nice to be at a beginning of something. It's
That's nice to be at a sweet
beginning where the gang comes together and, you know, it's not just so dire because outside the world feels pretty intense right now.
It's a dark place for sure.
Yeah. So maybe I just need a couple of beers in the Shire. Okay.
I love that.
Paige, what else ails you? What else confuses you about these movies?
Honestly, you guys have brought up so many great points, and like hearing you talk about it, I'm like, okay, it wasn't just me. Like, there were clearly issues.
No, these movies are perfect.
Yeah, you are so right. I'm sorry, that was disrespectful. One thing that bothered me, I saw that Jake Gyllenhaal auditioned for Frodo, and I feel like I would have loved that character so much more had he have done it. He probably would have been awful because he said that was the worst audition ever.
Yeah, no, it had to be Elijah.
For our viewing pleasure, I would have preferred that, so I'll just leave it at that.
I mean, Jake Gyllenhaal's sexier, but it had to be sweet Frodo with his gorgeous blue eyes
and
his hobbit-like stature.
I could just see Frodo as Elijah Wood so much better in the sense where he still has a lot of childlike mannerisms.
Exactly.
It seems where I feel like Jake Gyllenhaal almost would have been too
edgy.
Mature.
Yeah.
Like he would have just have been brooding into the camera.
I think Elijah sent in, like, he sent in a tape for it, like, pretty aggressively. Like, I think he sent in a tape, like,
watch this,
like, fully in gear or something, like, in the woods. I think he, like, petitioned, like, he fought
aggressive.
A little bit of
method acting might dabble.
Yeah, exactly.
Devin, you've shared a lot of quotes that you enjoyed particularly, and I would to touch on that. So Lauren is odd. Okay. Love her to death, but odd. And I can say that because I'm the same way. Well, I remember this one day we were in the car and she knows what I'm talking about. We were driving and she just starts singing. She's talking about how hungry she was. And she's like, boil them, mash them, stick them in a stew. Boil them, mash them, stick them in a stew.
It was like potatoes.
I did not even want to know.
What's potatoes, precious?
Oh! I'm scared. I feel so outnumbered.
What's Delta's Brussels? Potato, potato, boil them, mash them,
stick them in a stew. Boil them, mash them, stick them in a stew. But she sings that, and I was like, she's weird. It's fine. I don't think anything of it. Well, I'm watching this and that scene, and I was like, okay, that explains so much, truly. And is why I nominate that excerpt as our quote for this episode.
I'm ready. I think I've been preparing for this most of my life.
You definitely have been preparing for it since last year. I know that. So
yeah, what's the number? How many rings of power were there? I think it was 12. 20. 20. The rings of power were 20 magical rings forged by Sauron to seduce the rulers of Middle-earth.
I would have been way off. All right, Paige. Paige, you poo.
Okay. 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, you sweet Lord of the Rings pandemic babies. This is tip number 20.
Potatoes. Boil them, mash them, stick them in a stew.
Wow.
Oh, this has been fun.
This has been crazy.
You guys are a hoot and a half.
Thank you.
You guys are fun. And that's why I was excited. I don't say yes to everyone who DMs me about a podcast, but you said, we're going to nerd out about something of your choosing. I said,
you're like, say less.
Oh, I can do that. I can do that.
It is.
Yes, please.
Our favorite activity, I think. First of all, just talking in general. Paige and I, if you haven't noticed, could talk your ear off.
I get that. I see how you guys are able to keep your connection over state lines now.
Yes, we are a bit much.
You just talk to keep it going.
It's a lot. We've been told actually by our, what would it be, our brother podcast maybe? I don't know if they're even affiliates, but our podcast is like being at our, did they say our house and hiding in our closet and listening? Yeah, it was disturbing, but I'm glad that we could provide you with that experience.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me to your room with the dudes in the closet.
Yeah, thank you for coming to our closet.
Always a good time.
So, you know, Paige, rewatch The Lord of the Rings at least 10 times and then we can talk again.
Yeah, honestly, I'm sure I will have completely different feelings. So I feel like we'll need a follow-up, where are they now episode, as far as where are my feelings now.
And then definitely watch The Lord of the Rings extended editions next time.
Yes.
I know they're longer, but truly, like, they'll give you more movie. Like, they'll give you more context for the characters and, like, motivation for their actions. They just couldn't fit it all in. And then also watch that Josh Cad Reunited Apart with them, because you'll hear all these amazing stories of, like, the making and how much they love each other. And it's just, it's wonderful.
I love Josh Gad, so I'm on it.
And don't waste your time watching The Hobbits. Just
truly
putting that out.
Truly, you could just skip those.
I'm really glad you guys said that, because I was wondering, I was like, oh, I wonder if I should even invest. So I'm really glad that.
You don't have to, but reading The Hobbit is actually worth it, because it's not as big of an undertaking as The Lord of the Rings, and it's great. It's a great, fun little fantasy world, and it's with Bilbo.
Yeah.
Your favorite character, Lauren.
Not Lauren.
Yeah, just buy the movies and then set them on fire.
Okay, I love that.
he messed up with The Hobbit. I had fun, like, being back in the world. I had fun in the first one. I even had some fun in the second one, but the third movie's such a mess of filmmaking. On top of, what bothered me so much is they got lazy with it. Like, they CGI so much of it, when what made The Lord of the Rings incredible was how practical, how many practical effects they used and makeup. And then in The Hobbit, they, like, CGI all of it. Even the main baddie orc is CGI'd. And I can't connect to a CGI villain. Like, this is dumb.
And in a world where we have such amazing FX makeup artists, like, come on, man. Well,
and it's literally Peter Jackson making it. Like, in a world where we know you specifically have done it better, it's just this is lazy.
Yeah.
And that third movie, story-wise, is trash. Such a mess. It's trash.
Yeah.
It's trash.
Okay. Straight up. Well, trash. That is noted.
Noted. The Hobbit, trash.
Devin, go ahead and plug stuff away. Where can people find you?
Oh, yeah, hi. Okay, guys, here's the deal, all right? I am an artist and a human who, you know, wants to entertain you and inspire you. And if you're into that stuff, follow me and check me out. I have all sorts of things going on right now. Follow me on Instagram at Devin Workharder, Devin Workheiser on Twitter, all the things. But I also have a Patreon for those of you who extra love me. And what I'm doing on Patreon is really building a really cool community that I'm stoked about. I do 2 live streams a week. You can get exclusive music from me. But really, the live streams are what I'm about. It's like we do these 2-hour like deep dive live streams on life. And it's like the Ned's live stream sort of, in terms of like we talk about life and things that we're all going through and ways to get through it better. And I'm just wanting to bring people a community and a space of support and a space to reflect on your life with other people kind of giving feedback. Yes. So that's on Patreon. I just started Twitch as well. So Devin Workheiser on Twitch. I'm going to be doing streams once a week, if not more, that are pretty entertaining and fun. What else? I have an EP out on Spotify and Apple Music right now called Chapter 1. I released that during the pandemic. Good times. And I'm currently recording. Yeah, I planned in January. Casual. I'm like, I'm going to release Chapter 1. Like it's going to be a great summer EP for people. It's like these uplifting songs. It'll be great for like road trips and good summer times. And then a pandemic hit and I'm like, well,
we need some positivity. Okay. It's fun.
But honestly, it's perfect because it actually does have like a lot of uplifting themes to it. And we all need that. So Chapter 1's out and I'll be releasing my next single, in September or October. I'm recording it right now. Yeah, I got so much going on. If you, want to check out some fun little items I curate, you can go to crystalboyisland.com. That's where I sell merch of mine. That's all the many things that I have going on.
My life has been forever changed yet again. When I was like 9, you're giving me tips for middle school. And now here we are, right? Adults, and my eyes have been opened. So thank you for that.
And I'm opening you to a beautiful mythological world of wonder.
Yeah, Devin, I have to personally thank you from the bottom of my heart, because if it were not for you,
it would have not happened.
It would have not happened. Paige would have looked at me, laughed in my face, and like, yeah, right, I am not watching Lord of the Rings, you loser.
No. She would have said Lord of the Rings.
Oh yeah, Lord of the Rings, because I hate space is what she would have said.
And she would have said, Lauren, you're stupid space movie. I'm not going to watch it. I have better things to do.
Yeah. And I would have had a heart attack and died.
Did you say space movie?
I feel like some listeners will be able to relate.
Nope. No.
Star Trek? Nope.
I was really vulnerable with you guys and I feel like it's going to backfire. So love that for me.
Our closet is a safe space.
It is not a safe space. Like, I'm about to be put on blast.
Paige, where can people find you, sweet, sweet girl?
Honestly, I don't know if I should say it. I really can't follow what Devin put out, and I just don't even want to waste my time.
And Paige is worried about backlash. People are going to go and report her Instagram for
not being nerdy enough.
Okay, you can find me on Instagram at paige.hollinsworth. And Lauren, where can they find you in the podcast?
They can firstly find our podcast at @andheresy_pod, and then find my little Pagio at Lauren H. Wright.
That's me. I'm your little Pagio. All right. So yeah.
Yep. Devin, thank you.
Thank you times 1,000.
It's been a blast.
You sweet, sweet nerd cakes.
To this day, I call my husband Coconut Head.
He still has the cocoa wig and like.
Stop. I will trade Lauren's firstborn for this wig. So
excuse what? That got so sinister.
Interesting leverage. Amazing. Yeah, he's out there. He's a DJ. You can find him at, I think his Instagram handle is Pinky Pinkston. He's the man. He's still out there doing it.
An icon.
An icon. A true icon. He is, though. Coconut Head is a legend.
Sounds there peachy. You go.
Sounds peachy keen, just like little Pagey Peach.
That's right, little Pagey Peach.
All right, you get out of here now, you heard?
All right, now. Thanks, guys. I'll see you.
Thanks, Devin.